And good Friday morning. Friday, October the 8th, 2021, 16 minutes past the hour. You are tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship that can be heard live every Friday morning at 11:10 a.m., repeated Sunday morning at 8:10 a.m., and Wednesday afternoon at 3:10 p.m. Now, you can also go to the website, wwgh1071.com. Go to Show Archives. The first one under there is the Pastor Spot. You can listen to shows dating back to March of 2018, and the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service airs on this station on Sundays at 12:15 p.m. And now we turn to the host of the Pastor Spot, Pastor Steve Whitaker.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning,
Frank's
Pastor.
Back here making sure. You know, Frank's kind of like that guy that sits off to the side of a lot of talk shows, the show producer that'll give you looks when you say the wrong thing.
That's right.
But he works great that way. But thank you, Frank, for being there to, what they say everyone needs an accountability partner. We'll say he's my accountability partner.
Pull that green mic a little way over there.
Oh, yes.
That way we'll hear you a little better.
I hope everyone can hear me better.
There we go.
Is that better?
That's better.
Much better. Good. I'm sorry. I didn't think about the mic this morning. I was worrying so much about the live feed that I didn't, because last week I had to shut it off because I forgot to shut it off to the show and kept the conversation going, and it wasn't part of the show. But anyway, I'll try to keep it together today. I, of course, am Pastor Steve Whitaker. I'm pastor of Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We are a Bible teaching and Bible believing church. We are at 209 East Water Street. Of course, that is right across the street from the Lutheran parking lot. And they let us use a few spaces on Sunday, so that makes it kind of nice. We have service time in the morning. We begin the morning at 9:30. And with a Bible study hour, different classes, and for children and adults. And then we go right into the worship service at 10:30. And we have a midweek services and Bible studies and Sunday evenings Bible studies. A lot going on. But I wanted to explain why we didn't have the our annual fall day in the park that we do last week. It looked like rain, and it wasn't really the best weather. But we have, this Sunday is supposed to be beautiful. I think we made the right call. So we will be at Prospect Park, and we will be there beginning at 2:30 in the afternoon. We are going to be making fresh cider and apple butter, and we're going to have hot dogs. And what else, Frank, are we having? Hot dogs and...
Somebody said chili, but I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I think we're having like... some kind of a nacho thing or something, but hot dogs and I heard they were even going to be making funnel cakes. So and they're just a lot of games, hayride that we do every year. There'll be a hayride, kids games, face painting, you name it. It's a fun time. And at the end of it, around 5 o'clock in the evening, I will be actually giving a message in the park. So I'll be giving a Sunday night message from there, which will be. I look forward to doing that. But it's going to be a great time. Doesn't cost a thing. Just show up at Prospect Park. We'd love to see you there. We kicked off this week. We kicked off our Team Kids for Christ at the church. And that's just great. We had kids coming, and just see those faces coming back. We do it during the school year time. And we give them a break in the summer because people are going in a lot of different places. But, you know, the little kids come, and the youngest ones are so fun because they're so wide-eyed, wondering what they're going to learn and what's going to go on. And, of course, they have snack time and recreation time. This year we've had a huge blessing. We're going to be using the KP Hall next door to the church. It'd be two spaces west of the church. And we're going to be using the KP off so we can have our recreation in there, give the kids a lot more space. And, of course, this is on the first and third Tuesdays of the month from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And you just bring your kids and drop them off. They'll be safe and can pick them up at 8 o'clock. Or if you want to hang around and watch, you know, that's okay too. But really glad to see that kicking off. We got so many fun things going on. Stephen Poe, one of the leaders in our church, is starting Trail Life USA at the church, which is a alternative Boy Scout program that's faith-based. and they're going to be talking about. He's working with some leadership now with some younger guys that had recently in the last few years graduated from Elgin, and they're going to be working on some camping activities, and we're going to get our train set back up, our huge train tracks in the Mission House, and the model trains going, and just a lot of different things. I was going to, a friend of mine, Bob O'Donnell, gave me a book on how to build a canoe, and I'm going to see if they want to kind of do that too. But this year I think it will also do bring back, we haven't done it in a few years, the Pinewood Derby. Remember those? We used to do the Pinewood Derby, and it's a blast. And I don't remember exactly what caused us to stop doing it, but it wasn't anything in a negative light. But I'd like to bring back the Pinewood Derby. And the other thing that we do is the boat regatta, and that's just a blast for little kids. It starts with two gutters that are mounted on boards, and they're full of water. And the kids make a boat, and they blow from one end to the other and see who wins the race. That's a lot of fun. You know, we're doing a lot of fun things, and those things are important. And, of course, I do Pizza with Pastor, too. That's on the first Tuesday and the third Thursday of the month from 6:30 to 8. And I order pizza, and we sit around and talk about events of the day and just give young people a chance to talk and some of those things. So, man, there's just so much going on. But it's fun, and it's exciting, and... You know, we live in a time when we have a lot of competition with everything we do at the church. Sports is a huge competition. That's one of the reasons that we stop in the spring when we do with Team Kid, because the minute baseball sign-ups start for, you know, the local kids playing baseball, it just declines. And that's we know that. And, of course, right now it'll be a little slower until touch football for the little kids ends, and then it'll pick back up. And of course, we got a few games left for the football season, so some of the teenagers, you know, are still busy doing that. And then of course, some will go into basketball. We'll get the ones that don't, and you know how that goes. It's just you work with and do what you can. I'm still trying to work in the school with the kids as much as I can. Tara Klensman is our huddle coach for FCA at Elgin, and she's doing a bang up job with that. And I try to be there with the football team on football nights, and of course they've invited me. The team players have invited me to be there with them as a pastor, and I think that's wonderful they do that, and that they want to do that, and just a lot of neat things going on. But it takes a lot of energy, and it takes a lot of scheduling. And you know, I'm the worst person for scheduling. Anyone that knows me, if you went to high school with me, you know, and you think back, you remember this was the most disorganized guy in the world. You know, everything was late. He didn't know what was going on each day. If you opened his locker, you better step back 2 feet because everything was going to fall out on the floor. And that was, I've just never been one. I think it's because I really suffer badly from ADD. And I have a hard time staying on one thing. So that flows over into everything. I noticed the other day, I was making a cup of coffee with some cream and some Splenda. And at the same time, I was mixing something else up, and I found myself, like, pouring coffee and then going and putting something in this bowl I was mixing and then going back and getting cream for the coffee and then going back, and it's just, why didn't you just finish one task and go to the next? And those of us that have ADD can struggle from that. But it causes some disorganization. But I don't know whether I'm getting better or whether I have such great people around me that compensate for my lack of organization, but I think they do, and they remind me, Steve, do you know that? Oh yeah. But now, interestingly enough, I stay pretty focused when I'm preaching on what the task is that you know, what I'm doing and what I'm trying to get across. I'm always open to the Lord's leading as I preach, and what a blessing I really see. We've seen good attendance lately. It's kind of nice when the church gets to a point that even when you know that several people are out that week, you still have a pretty full church, and that's a blessing to see. And especially in these times, it's kind of difficult. We do have people that have some health issues that you know, we've got to watch and take care of, and you know, and those things. And we live in tough times. We really do. We see a lot of things we just don't expect anymore. I don't want to go down that negative road today. I've talked a lot about some of the hard things going on in our communities with drugs and with relationships and with so many things. And I think that we're all aware that they're there. But you know, the truth is, we can dwell in that place, or we can recognize that place and rise above it. I don't mean that you quit caring about it, but you say, you know what? I'm going to be positive about this. I'm going to help who I can help. I'm going to pray continually for the people, for the situation. You know, we can, as people, and I speak also specifically as Christians, we can recognize the bad in people, know that it's there. And we can see things that, oh, I wouldn't even go there in my life. But we better never stop caring for those people. And better never stop knowing that, man, they could have a better life. They could rise above that. They could, if they would just turn and understand God designed them for a beautiful life. And it's, you know, I look at tomorrow, and like Billy Graham always said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And if we rest in that, we know that tomorrow is never the end. There's always a reason to get out of bed tomorrow. I recently had an acquaintance. I wouldn't say a friend. He's a close friend of people that are close to me, but he was an acquaintance that was diagnosed with a terminal disease and was in extreme pain. And within a week of diagnosis, he took his life. Because he was not going to, he knew that it was extremely terminal, and he was in extreme pain. And I can understand, you know, why you would say, you know what, why am I going through this? You know, but many times, in those situations, you can almost understand. You can kind of understand. But in the situations, I've heard of people that said, I'm just tired of life. And we've seen those. We've seen celebrities do that. I'm just tired of life, and I've done enough. I'll give you a good example of that was Brad Delp. Do you remember who Brad Delp was?
I remember him.
Brad Delp was the lead singer for Boston. Remember the group Boston? Mm-hmm. And took his own life one day, carbon monoxide in his garage, and he left a note behind and said, you know what? I'm just a lonely soul and don't want to go on. I think Brad was 60 years old or 59 or something when he did it. It's like, are you kidding me? You don't have any hope for tomorrow, so you're just going to leave? I mean, what a sad thing that people in that place. And, you know, and tell people there's no reason to end your life. Young people end their life and say, you know, things are going so bad, I just don't see any hope for tomorrow. Well, for crying out loud here, you know, some of these kids are 18, 19 years old. They're at the beginning of their life, and to not see any hope is a sad thing. before you go to that extent, and before you say, you know, I give up, you know, hey, at least come to us at the church and tell us where you're at, and maybe someone can show you, you know, that there is hope, that you're a wonderful person. God made you wonderful, and you may be dealing with a lot of things that you just can't wrestle with in your mind anymore, but let someone walk you through them and direct you in some ways for help to get away from that, because, you know, what a sad thing when a life is taken so young and so senselessly. You know, I read more and more every day about kids that their lives are taken because of what people are doing to them on social media. Kids, I want to tell you out there, and parents, you can tell your kids this and remind them of this. If you're worried about what people are saying about you in high school, when you get out of high school, within a year or two, you're going to have a whole new group of friends, and none of those people are probably even going to matter for the most part. And you know, a lot of kids, it's funny when you think about high school, you know, a lot of kids, they really peak. They peak in high school. You ever seen, you knew some peakers. Do you know any peakers, Frank? Those were maybe the kids that, you know, sometimes a bully is a peak. He sees peak bully season when he's in high school. Everyone knows who he is and he's recognized. Or you're the, you know, you're a really standout football player, or you stand out in drama, or you stand out in something else. And you peak. And you don't get away from that. You never move beyond it. I knew a guy one time. I don't even know if he's still living because I knew him years ago. But he went to a small school in the suburb of Columbus. And he was an outstanding basketball player. But he really wasn't good enough to go to any major colleges or anything. And his high school career was the end of his career. When I knew him, he was about 35 years old. And back when he played basketball was kind of when I played. And wore the real short shorts, remember them? And then the socks that came clear up to the knees, remember that? And then the tank tops with the low side arms, you know. He wore those every day. 35 years old, that's what his attire was every day. And he'd stand around talking to you. While he was talking, he'd pretend like he was dribbling and taking a shot, you know. And, I mean, he never left high school. He was a severe alcoholic and never had a relationship that lasted, didn't have a girlfriend. He had gotten so much attention when he was in high school. But the problem was nobody had built a foundation with this young man to where he had something else when it was over. And we have to remember with our kids, we've got to build foundations. And because those days end, you're not going to be the best high school running back, you know, forever. You're not going to be. It doesn't matter once you're out of school. A lot of kids get so much attention and they work so hard even at that sport. I mean, they really work hard in school. Some of these kids do. They're hitting the weight room all the time or they're swimming, you know, whatever it is. And then they get out of high school and they say, well, where am I? I'm a nobody. I just became a nobody. I graduated and became a nobody because this kid's going to that college, this one's going there, and all these things happen. But remember that a lot of those kids that were nobodies in high school go on to be great somebodies as adults because they continue to learn and grow and they do marvelous, wonderful things. And they're going to do that. So recognize that. Things completely change when you leave high school. And thank God they do in many cases. You know, high school's rough territory. It really is. you know, a kid may, in the hallway, be whispering about you, and it just devastates you the whole day. And you don't know, oh, what were they saying, and what did I do, and what are they telling people? Or, you know, people lie about a girl, things she's doing that she's not, or a guy things they're doing that they're not. And you know, these kids are so devastated. But you know what? I'm a firm believer in sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And I think that it's easy to say that, though. But there's a lot of people that it hurts deeply. And nobody likes to be teased or marginalized or put down. I mean, nobody likes that. But if you have enough self-worth, you can rise above it. If you know that God made you to be someone special, and he's just waiting on you to say, let's go. And let him lead and direct your life. And as you trust Christ with your life, you understand that anything you've ever done that you may be living with that you think that you can never get past, Christ forgave you, and he paid for those sins on the cross. They're paid for. They're gone. They're not even there. You know, when you accept that from him, that he did that, you don't have to live with carrying guilt in your life and carrying the things for past things you've done. They're gone. The Bible says that old things are passed away, all things become new. We don't have to pay for those things that we've done that are done. There's no sense in carrying guilt. There's nothing more debilitating in someone's life than carrying guilt. Guilt for a bad relationship, guilt for some thing they may have done. Maybe it's even a deviant thing they've done. Look, if you've made amends and you've given that to the Lord, it's gone. Pick up and move on. Pick up and move on. You know the Bible says tells us that you know the thoughts of man are can be so wicked that they're capable of anything. And we recognize that. We truly do. And the thing is, but you don't have to stay there. You know, if I'm somewhere living in a place that I know in my heart is wrong and it's bad, it's not a good direction, I don't have to stay there. There's nothing tying me to it. I don't have to make that my calling card. I don't have to make that my define who I am. Maybe you're living in a lifestyle that everyone's like, whoa, I can't believe this guy or I can't believe this girl. You know what? If you decide that, you know, that's not right for you and you're not, don't worry about the people that are going to remember what you did. You know, when I answered the call from God to become a pastor, I can guarantee you, I know there were kids from school that said, you got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. And, you know, that's fine. That's fine, you know, because here's, I said this Sunday, and I think that it's very important. Rather than somebody talking about how great I am and how wonderful I am and isn't he the best guy in the world and all those accolades that someone may give to me, I would much rather someone say, wow, can you believe what God did with his life to take him from here to there? Give that credit to God where it's due, because we fall down, and we will fall down. You know, what do they say? What's the old saying? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. There's a lot of truth to that. You know, when you're a person living in obscurity and you fall, nobody knows it, right? But when you're someone that is in the public eye all the time, or especially as someone that's talking about right and wrong, and then you do something majorly wrong, you know, it makes the headlines. It's really interesting. Was it the Washington Post or the Boston Examiner that exposed the abuse in the was it the my mind just drew a blank. Which church was it, a priest? Was it in Ireland they just did? That was all over the news. I'm trying to remember.
But in France.
France. It was in France. It was the churches, the Catholic churches in France, had an unbelievable amount of pedophilia going on. And they exposed it. And, of course, they got, you know, anytime a news organization exposes something, it gives them more credibility and more people watching, blah, blah, blah. Well, immediately after that, one of the other news organizations started looking into the Southern Baptist Association, which is the largest church association other than the Catholic Church in the United States, and started looking into them, seeing what they could dig. Now, interestingly enough, the association took the stance of, you know what, okay, we're going to hire an independent company to look into our own churches and around the country. And not only that, but this is really interesting. As far as the people that have used the attorneys within the association or situations, they voted to waive attorney-client privilege. I mean, you're talking about transparency? And then that just basically tells the news organization, you know, look, we're going to be totally transparent. So don't think, we're not going to wait on you to pull a gotcha. Because the truth is, anytime you go out there, you're going to find a gotcha. There's somebody that you can, you know, start digging into anything and you're going to find a gotcha. And I think when you're responsible and you do the right thing, you can get ahead of those gotchas or at least try to take care of them and address them in the right way. But it's far better that your life is something that you let God change you and make you a new you rather than you trying to fit into what the world thinks you should be and what people say that you should be. Because you can never live up to the world's expectations because they're always going to expect more and they're always going to expect you to do better. And then, daggone it, there's going to be somebody that's always looking for where you slipped and messed up. You know, Scott, you're a station manager here, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've been here a long time. How many times do people criticize the way you do things?
Oh, every day.
There you go.
Every day somebody doesn't like something.
I didn't know that was going to be your answer. But see, that's my whole point. You do a great job here. You've kept the radio station going. You have you have guests that nobody can get. I mean, even nationally, people can't get. You know, you've talked to some of the first that's unbelievable. But yet, even at that, there's those people that'll criticize how you do, what you do, when you do, where you do.
You know, but 90% of that, honestly, I think is couched, at least I couch it, 90% of that, to me, is couched in, they feel so close to you. They feel, I mean, you would not walk up to a stranger and say some of the things that people will say to me. But I think because I'm in their porches in the morning 5 days a week, and I'm in their cars with them when they drive to work, that I don't think they say what. I don't think they feel what they're saying is criticism, even though if anybody heard it, they would say it was criticism. Mm-hmm. So I just mark it off as, that's your opinion. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I want to tell you something. The thing that you can do when you're doing your very best to walk with God, He's okay with you. And He's the one that's going to give you the expectations. And you can live up to those. You really can. Because all He asks us to do is to give Him our best, to give Him a clean heart, to do what you're called to do what's right. You know, I often say that, I want to tell young people this especially, that if you just sit down, the hard thing is no one uses a pencil and paper anymore, and no one reads a book, but I'm going to say sit down and take a piece of paper. If you have a pencil and you can find one, make two columns. And start writing down all the negatives in your life, all the negatives, whatever they may be. I'm not real good looking, or I'm real good looking and it gets me in trouble, or you know, my parents are divorced and I have to pacify both of them and they hate each other. I mean, there's always these lists, you know. People think that I'm this way in school and I'm not. You know, I've got a high. You know, make that list, and then beside it, make a list of in your heart who you truly want to be, things you really, really like to do, the positive things that you can do in your life, and then relook at that list again and say, look at that list over the bad list and answer this question, can I really do anything about most of those things? If it's something you can fix, work towards fixing it. If it's something you don't realize that, you know, I can't do anything with this, so I've got to just literally put that off my plate and out of my mind. I'll deal with it the best I can, but I can't do anything with it. But over here, here's some goals I can make. And I can make that happen. You know, I can start plugging myself into better things with better people. I knew a young lady one time that was really running with a bad crowd. And she was heading down that road of literally destroying her life with her associations and what she was starting to do and allow into her life. Her self-esteem went from extremely intelligent, extremely talented girl that she had self-confidence to where she wasn't dressing right, she was looking bad, she was just, you know, I'm just like the people I run around with. Someone stepped in and took her out of that situation and made her change a friend group and gave her a friend group to do something with through a group of people in a organized group. I don't want to get into particulars. I don't want to expose anybody. But anyway, they said, you know, this is something you're going to do. You're going to become part of this group. They're great kids. Enjoy it. You're not going to do this over here anymore. And here's what's going to be the consequences if you do. And the consequences were going to be dire enough. They said, you know what, I've got to give this a try. Within a year, that kid was back. Within a year, they were getting the good grades. Within a year, they were popular. For the right reasons. Their self-esteem was back. And that young woman went on to live an amazing life that I've watched them since that time. But a decision was made to move from here to here. And young people, you can do it. Maybe you don't have any money and everybody's got money to do things and friends going places. Maybe you have no friends. Maybe you just don't know how to talk in that group of people. Maybe everyone's calling you names. Maybe everyone's telling you you're gay when you're not. Maybe everyone's, you know, and that happens a lot too. You know, today it's sad because I know of young people that because they may appear more effeminate, and they're just their natural personality, that someone assumes that they're this way, and then they push that issue, and maybe they're not. I've got a friend that I've had for many, many years, and he's a very feminine acting guy. He just is, always has been. And but he's not gay. And my point is, quit pushing people by what you think, whatever it is, whatever it is. And that's just one example that I gave. And start letting people tell you who they are and don't say, oh, no, you're not. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. You know, we have so many talents that go above and beyond what we look like. You know, we're a society of what people look like. Quite frankly, if you carry yourself and you're good looking, you will go far, much further in business and everywhere else usually than someone that just doesn't come across that well. Go into a job interview for a company. If you're good looking, I'll be honest with you, it's even in the church. If you take, and Frank, you'd probably agree with this, you know, these guys come out of seminary. I call it cemetery sometimes, and the reason I say that is you go in with a fire to learn and a fire to teach and love and reach people, and in so many cases you get pigeonholed into something that you come out being how someone taught you to be rather than how God guided you to be. And that's why I call it cemetery. They go to their death. of their. It happens. Now, I'm not knocking all cemetery. I slip and say that all the time. I'm not knocking all seminaries. But what I am saying is this, that even in the church, in the last place that it should be, if you come out of seminary and you carry yourself with that little bit of a swagger and cock to your head and you're attractive, they're gonna recommend you, and they're gonna send you to interviews to pastor some of the bigger, better churches everywhere.
Or if you play golf.
Oh, you got to. Of course, you got to play golf. If you don't play golf, you're not going anywhere. But the point is, seriously, the church.
Yeah.
Do they not read their Bibles? Do they not know that the greatest teacher in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, was not an attractive man? Was not well spoken? And God used him greatly. I mean, my point is, we get so caught up in how people look. Kids in school that are maybe a little gawky, or aren't coordinated, or they don't speak the best, or, you know, heaven forbid, maybe their home life isn't the cleanest, and they don't get to shower every morning, or have clean clothes to wear to school. They should never be marginalized. We need to understand each other. I told the kids the other night at Pizza with Pastor, they were commenting about a couple of the kids in school and some of the crazy things, bad things they're doing. One particular kid, what did he do? He took a can of paint or something and opened up the ceiling tile in the bathroom, the drop ceiling, opened the lid, threw it up there and closed it, and just doing stuff like that, destructive stuff. And I said, you know, guys, I said, I know that's rotten, and they're doing, why are they doing that? And you don't know what he just came from at home. You don't know if this isn't them acting out because they have no control over what's being done to them at home. And it's very interesting. I'll give you a good example of what I mean. I was listening to an interview with a young adult woman that, and this is very interesting. She had some issues at home growing up, and she started sleeping around, and, you know, and that happens, you know, I want attention, I want to feel loved. Before you know it, she was sleeping with any guy, anytime, got a horrible reputation, and they treated her like dirt. And one guy told her one day, he said, you're nothing but a hole in the wall. Can you imagine in high school hearing that? You know what she ended up doing? She ended up deciding that she was going to, I'll tell you what she did, and then I'm going to tell you why she did it. This is her interview. She ended up deciding that she would be bisexual, then she decided she would be a lesbian, then she decided she would be a man and have all the physical things done to be so, which she did. And she said the reason she did it was because she had been so controlled and beaten and put down by these guys that she wanted to take the control and she wanted to be the man. Now, that makes no sense to you or I, does it? But a kid in high school that doesn't have any help and direction and guidance can come up with the weirdest solutions to things that aren't. Eventually, this was a young lady that realized that why she had done what she did. And although it's been a rough road, she found herself again. And she became a wonderful woman. But But she found herself, and why she went that direction was because of the situations in her life. And I think that we have to realize, especially when we're dealing with high school kids and high school people, they are so impressionable. And in many cases, you know, I'm saying that let kids grow up and develop into whoever they're going to be. I'm not going to tell them who they're going to be or who they should be. I'm just saying let them grow up and develop. Kids, don't let people bully you into being something that you're not. And don't let people tell you who you are when they're wrong. Don't let people, you know, you can do anything that you want. And there's people out there. We need, Scott, I'll tell you, and I think you'd agree with me on this. Frank, I think you would too. We truly need more mentors out there today that are good, solid people and mentoring these young people. There was a, there's a program, and I can't think of the name of it. We did it in Elgin a while when Mr. Lichtenberger was there as a guidance person. And they take young boys that are between, I think they start them in the fifth grade. And if they're willing to stay after school and they have their parents' permission, they teach them to how to talk properly. They teach them about opening doors for people. They teach them, you know, how to dress nice. They go out and they buy them all a suit jacket and a tie, and so they learn that, you know, there's times that you dress like this. You go on interviews, and they teach them talking skills and being polite and how to answer people, and just guide them in a way that allows them to have some self-confidence when they're out there in a world. You know, today, with kids saying, I'm going to do what I want when I want, and you're going to tell me what I want to think, and if I don't feel like doing it, I'm not going to do it, more than any time in our history. These kids are going to have jobs one day, and they're going to have to answer to somebody. And I talk to a lot of employers that deal with a lot of them. And sometimes it takes young people several years to realize that, you know what, if I'm going to have anything, I've got to hold this job. I can't just get up and walk out. Interesting, the president was giving a speech the other day, and he said something about, you know, our education, and we were ranking 34th out of 40 of the top nations in the country in education, and he said we have to put more money at it. The interesting thing is we spend $13,000 a year per student in this country right now. We are the highest spending nation on our students and on education in the world. We rank 34th. From the time of 1912, roughly, whenever the Kitty Hawk was, in the next 40 years, we were putting people into space. We were having jet engines. The education in this country was phenomenal, what they were learning and growing and what kids were learning. And we switched from that over the next 40 or 50 years to all of a sudden we started declining because we're spending more time trying to teach people how to act and ideologies and agenda-driven than actually education-driven. And we have to understand that parents, you know, it's real easy to get on the teachers and the educators and say, well, you're trying to teach our kids how to do this and how to do that and how to think and how to do this. Your job is to teach them the fundamentals, which is true. But the truth of the matter is the parents need to be teaching fundamentals at home. Our job as a parent is not just to feed them, clothe them, and forget them. Our job is to, how was your day? Let's talk about this. I said no because, and let me explain to you why. And this is why you're not going to do this. You can throw a fit all you want, but you're not going to do this. I'm your parent. No, you're not going to watch that on television. It's not right for, you know, I don't want you watching that stuff. No, you're not going to hang around with those kids. I know what they're doing. Yes, you're going to do this. You know, I think it would be great if you did 4-H this year. Or maybe it'd be great if you got plugged into this program or that program. Yes, we're going to church on Sunday because that's what we do as a family. And I really don't care if you don't want to go. That's where we're going to go. And you'd better decide to like it because you're going to be there anyway. One of the biggest lies people tell today, and I hear them say, is the reason I don't go to church is because I was forced to as a kid. That's the biggest bunch of hogwash because, you know what, they love sports as an adult, and those same parents forced them to not miss a practice. You see what I mean? And other things. They're forced to go to school every day. The truth of the matter is that we need to put guidance back in where it needs to be. People need to pick up that personal responsibility and start being responsible for their young people, recognize that your kids are struggling. It's not hard to do. When they're spending too much time in the bedroom and they don't want to talk to people and they start pulling back and they start not caring how they look and they stop bathing, you got a problem on your hand. Jump on it. Jump on it. Right? I think so. Hey, it's been a great day. I've done most of the talking, which is not a surprise.
That's why it's a great day. So that's why it's a great day for you.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah.
But I guess it's the pastor spot, so it's my time to either shine or flop, whatever it is. But, hey, I welcome all of you to come to the church at 209 East Water Street Sunday morning. We'll start at our service at 10:30, Sunday school's at 9:30. And don't forget the day in the park at Prospect Park this week. Our service will be at 12:15 on air at WWGH 107.1 FM. And Scott, have a blessed weekend. God bless you all.
Yeah. Well, we've got about 3.5 minutes here. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to say
your
goodbye.
Clock's wrong.
My clock, I'm about to turn this clock around to you, one of these clocks.
You know, that would work.
Yeah, just turn one of those around. You can see what time it is.
Well, I'll knock everything over.
Yeah, no, but in any event, it's interesting because this is a good time to bring up what you said. Have you ever noticed when you walk into a school now, because the financials of that are interesting, but have you ever seen the teachers? All the teachers in the building that I were, for whatever reason, they were older ladies. We did not have a male teacher in the school. They were all...
Wow, that's weird.
It didn't. Didn't now, have a male teacher.
I will tell you this, in Elgin, there's a lot of male teachers, and most of the teachers are... I would say they're the average age of the teachers in the school is probably 35.
Yeah, well, they I think they came in... Now the schools have them, but in those days, did not have... There was not...
a male principal.
Yeah, yeah, there was a male principal. The principal was male, Mr. Alexander, yes.
Yeah.
But not a male teacher in the school in any grade. And the women, I would bet there wasn't a woman under the age of 35. And if there was a woman under the
was
age of...
Was this when you were teaching?
No. This is when I was in school.
Oh, when you were in school.
I have to say, this is the difference.
See, when I was in school, we had a lot of male teachers.
No, it was all women.
You must have been in a weird school or something.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. It did okay. It's still there. But the women, and they all wore dresses down to their ankles, and they all had their hair permed. You walk into a school now, I'd be surprised
sometimes
if you find...
Sometimes the teachers look like the students.
Oh, exactly. Sometimes you have a hard time telling, but because of the way they dress, their hair is all straightened, they make up. Oh, I don't think I had a teacher, I'm trying to think back now, who didn't either have glasses all the time or need reading glasses. It's all different.
It's also
now.
Different, and then you wonder why teachers in high school boys are getting in trouble sometimes. They look just like them.
It's very strange.
And, you know, I probably would have been one of those high school boys that was asking out my teacher.
Well, yeah, and it's an odd thing. So I wonder a lot of times if that, you know, we throw a lot of money because we, how many times do we say teachers don't get paid enough? And
it's wait a minute, though. It's we can't say that's where all the money's going. Our facilities today have to be way different than they were when we were younger.
Right. No, I mean, I'm not saying...
The cost of facilities alone is mind-boggling.
But I think why we're number one in expenditures, but not number one in academics, is because of things like the buildings are a lot different. I don't know a building that... Not a building I went to school and had air conditioning.
We're not going to throw more money at it.
No, you're right. And I think we've got to look at the... What test does a teacher take that... yearly gets anywhere near any type of moralistic or even refines what they do? How many people just go back to the same file cabinet and redo what they did last year?
I think it really depends on district to district and school to school.
It does.
And I think that a lot of principals and more administrators are more plugged into sitting in the classrooms. I've seen the principals come in and sit in classrooms and watch the class and not tell them they were coming to do it. And I think that another thing that they do it now is by a lot of standardized testings, which isn't fair, which doesn't really these teachers are being forced to teach to test rather than teach to learn. And it's a completely different thing. Teaching to test is preparing them for a test, and teaching to learn is help them ingrain what they know.
You know what's odd to me in Marion County, though, with the wrap-up here? There are 5 school districts, and we all live in Marion County within miles of each other, and there's even open enrollment. Now, and I'm not going to say what they are because people know what they are. There is the school that's considered the school that's about to go out of business. There's the school district that's considered the rich school district. There's the school district that's considered the poor school district. There's a school district that's considered the ag school district. But you know what? Every year, they all know the same thing. They all know that they have to pass the standardized tests. They all know they have to do this. Every year, for the last 10 years, one school district scores higher than all the rest. And that is with different kids. The kids 10 years ago are no longer in that district.
It's because in that district, parents put them in that district with an expectation. And parents, there's more parent guidance in that district, and that's exactly why.
And it's not the rich district.
It's not the rich district.
It's not the rich district.
By any means.
Right, and it's not even thought of as the rich district.
Right. Interesting, isn't it?
That's very interesting.
Their parents, I'm telling you, it goes back to parents.
And we blew through that 4 minutes.
God bless you guys. Have a good time.
2 steps forward, and he put him in arm reach, and my reach, I reached over and grabbed him by the left shoulder and shoved back and down on him. But at the same time, of course, he'd switched that gun in his right hand and fired, and...
The legendary star of the Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?